everyone, this is Brother Brandon coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas with another Fishes of Men video broadcast. It is good to be here this evening, and boy, it seems like it's been a while since I've actually did a teaching, but it's only been since yesterday since I actually did a video. But it is good to be here. I am sorry it took so long to kind of put all this together. I wanted to be sure, I had this all put together before I go ahead and just present it. This evening, we're going to be talking about the lust of the flesh. Now, this is the second message in my sermon series entitling The Three Categories of Sin. The first message I did was an introductory message, and tonight we're going to be starting to focus on the lust of the flesh. Now, I have no idea how long it's going to take me to do this, but the lust of the flesh part is going to have multiple parts, and I don't know how many parts it's going to be. I'm guessing it's probably going to end up being more than three, I guarantee you. So, just bear with me. It may take me a while to get through all this. Hopefully, after when I'm done with this complete series, there's another series I want to do. The Seven Spirits of God. So, be praying for me on that. But that might be for, that's probably not going to be for a while. But we're going to be focusing on the lust of the flesh. And here's the thing. One thing we need to understand is we all struggle with this. Whether you are a believer or not. Well, if you're a non-believer, you don't struggle with it. You just do it because that's your nature. Your nature as a non-believer, your sin nature is sin, okay? And even after we're born again, we still have that sin nature. But the Bible says that we have a new nature. We have a new man that's birthed within us when we become born again. So, but the point I want to make is that we all struggle with sin in one way or the other. We all struggle with it because we're still in this body and we won't be perfect till we actually go home to be with the Lord. Now, with that said, okay, there's going to be some things that people are not going to like, and I'm going to touch on all sorts of areas. Okay? Anywhere from adultery to fornication to witchcraft, you name it. Okay? But we're going to stick to the scriptures. And my hope and prayer is that, number one, this won't be just a blessing. But two, it would be convicting. Number three, it would be something that we might examine ourselves with and say, okay, well, I need to work on in this area. And we need to pray about this area, and we need God's help in this area. Because the only way... Because here's the thing, you will not overcome sin by your flesh. You won't do it. Without Christ, you can do nothing. Okay? It is by Christ, it is by the power of Christ, and by the power of the Holy Ghost that enables you to overcome temptation. Okay? But you yourself cannot overcome it by your flesh. It doesn't happen that way. That's like trying to... That's like trying to overcome sin with a sinful man. It just doesn't work that way. That's like asking Nabal to help you overcome sin. And if you remember Nabal, he was a churlish guy. He didn't really care for anyone but himself. Okay? So that is not my introduction. That is just kind of me introducing the topic. We'll actually be getting into the actual introduction here in just a few minutes. But, I want to start off with any prayers or praises. If anybody has any prayers or praises, you could feel free to write them down in the comments. Or you can message me, depending on whatever you want. It's up to you. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But if you can please keep me in prayer. I've been kind of going up and down and everywhere. Today's been a very good day. And so just pray for me. Pray God will just have his way and will. Please pray for my ministry. Pray for... with my jobs and, pray for just more opportunities to do more videos, because I really need to do more videos. I would really like to do more videos and stuff like that. And I really just need to take time and just do more studying. And unfortunately some days I just can't do it just because I'm constantly working. So you pray for me on that. But God is faithful. He's provided for me with all my needs and stuff like that. So you pray for me on that. Please pray for... There's a fellow sister that needs prayer. She's kind of going through kind of a transition right now. So keep her in prayer. I'm not going to get into who it is or what the issue is. But keep her in prayer. I know she wants your prayers. Pray for Brother Joey as he's, he has pain. He has good days. He has bad days. He has okay days. He has got painless days sometimes. He's got painful days even more. So just keep him in prayer. Let's see what else. Please keep my coworker James in prayer. Found out that he transferred over to a rehab center in Fayetteville. I don't know where in Fayetteville. I don't really have a whole lot of information on that. And I highly doubt that Washington Regional will actually give me that information due to it's patient confidentiality. So I highly doubt that they would give that to someone like me. They'd probably more give that to like my boss or someone, just because, I don't know. But they probably may be a little bit weird of giving it to a fellow coworker, but. So pray for him. He got transferred to a rehab center. I think it's his leg where it's all kind of, it's swelling. So if worse comes to worse, they may have to amputate it. If worse comes to worse, the doctors don't know what's causing the swelling. So pray for him on that. Pray for me on Sunday. I'm going to the VA to preach. I'm going to be preaching on basically the very first message that I preached on here. I'm going to be preaching on the second half of the three categories of sin. And so you pray for me on that. Pray for the vets there, their hearts would be prepared for that. So pray for me on that. What else? I think that's gonna be about it. So anyways, you keep me in prayer. Let's keep our brothers and sisters in prayer. I'm sure they would really appreciate that. Don't really have any news. Not gonna really get into a whole lot of news right now. I've got so much information I need to get out there. Got a lot of information to go through, so I'm not gonna get much in the news. I think the only news or announcements I have is I'll be preaching on Sunday at the VA. Other than that, that's going to be it. Halloween is coming up. I think this coming week. That's next week. I want to encourage all of those. Let's try to win souls to the Lord if we can. Amen. I've got to work, so I don't know how much evangelism I'm going to be able to do, especially on the job. So we'll see how that goes. But I want to encourage you, if you're available on Halloween, get out and pass out some tracts and win some souls to the Lord. Let's not get ourselves entangled with the affairs of this world, because Halloween is satanic and it's not Christian, and no Christian should ever participate in that. It is not harmless. It is very spiritually harmful, and I want to encourage you all to pass out tracts. let's try to not get entangled with the affairs of this world. I tell you what, it's some people say that Halloween is harmless and it's fun. Well, clearly they don't know the history of Halloween then. And I think I actually have a video on that. Why Christians shouldn't do Halloween. I'm going to be reposting that when the time comes closer so that you all can kind of get a brief review on that. I may or may not do another message on that, but we'll see how it goes. I really don't want to be beating a dead horse, so let's just, so we'll see how that goes. Anyway, other than that, I don't have a whole lot anything else, so we'll go ahead and get started. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 16 through 21. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, before we go any further, let's take a look at the very first set. Let's take a look at the first couple of verses. Okay? We see here in Paul's letter to the Galatians, the first thing he mentions to them in the set of verses that I just read, okay, is to walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, how is it that we walk in the Spirit? Well, in John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life." Okay? Jesus is saying is that his words that he speaks to us is his Spirit and life. Now, what are his words? His words is the Word of God. It's the King James, it's your King James Bible. This is the words of Jesus Christ. They are Spirit and they are life. Now you might say, "Well, okay, Brandon, well, why do you say that?" Well, here's the thing. When we walk in the Spirit, okay, when we walk in the Spirit, we should walk, if we are to walk in the Spirit, and his word is Spirit and life, how do we walk in that? We walk in that by studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, listening to the Word of God. We dive into the Word of God on a daily basis. Amen. Whether you listen to it, read it, or you preach it, or whatnot. Okay, it's walking in the Word of God, is studying, but it's not just studying, but it's also doing what the Word of God commands us to do. Amen. Now, when Paul says, "If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." If you study your Bible and you walk according to what the Bible says to do, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because we see, and what we're going to see in the next verse, is that the flesh and the Spirit, they are at enmity. They don't go together, okay? The flesh wants to do one thing and the Spirit wants to do another thing, okay? Jesus said, "The flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing." Amen? Now, in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that every word of God." Every word of God is in this book. Okay, we are to live by every word of God. If we read it and we study it and we live it out, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says again, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And again, what is the word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? It's this Bible. Okay? It's this Bible. Your King James Bible is the words that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and that is what we live by. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." Let me ask you a question today. Does the word of God abide in you today? Because if not, you can know for sure that today, if you want to know how to, if you want to know, if you're not abiding in the word of God, today is the day to do it. Amen. You just open up your book, you open up the Bible, and you start reading and you start studying. Amen. If you're not a believer and if you want to abide in the word of God, it's going before the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin, asking him to forgive you of your sin, asking him to cleanse and wash you, asking him to fill you with his Spirit, asking him into your heart, asking him to be your Lord and Savior, and accepting that free gift of eternal life. And that might sound complicated, so let me just even make it more simple. Because the gospel is very simple. It's not complicated. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, you'll be saved." Amen? That's as simple as I'm going to get it. And let's just stick to Scripture, because Scripture is simple. It is not complicated. It seems complicated because man tends to complicate things. And if you don't believe me, go take a look at what's going on in the world today in our nation. Everything is all complicated because man has to interject everything into things, and they think that they are wise. And those who profess to be wise are fools. Now, we could try to defeat the devil and his temptations, but we will fail if we do it in the flesh. In other words, you cannot defeat Satan. Well, first of all, you can't really overcome Satan in the flesh. Let's put it that way. You can't overcome him in the flesh. You can overcome him by the word of God. You know why? Because the word of God is spirit. Okay? And by walking in the spirit and by saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written," you will overcome him. Okay, it's what we talked about in the last, it's what we've talked about in the first message on how when Jesus overcame, what did he say? He said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." The only way that you can overcome the devil and his temptations is by using the word of God and walking in the spirit. By walking in the spirit, you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. So, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 9. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Okay? So if you walk in the flesh, you can't please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God in the flesh, and therefore it is important that we should be walking in the Spirit on a daily basis. Why are we emphasizing that? Because if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Okay? Now, in Galatians chapter 5, again, where we're at, verses 17 through 18, it says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." So you see, the flesh and the Spirit, they're against each other. Okay? So if you want to not fulfill the lust of the flesh, don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Because the flesh and the Spirit, they war against each other. Okay? Now, when we take a look at our passage for this evening, okay, we're going to start in verse 19 and go to 21, okay? So the rest of the verse, 19 through 21 of chapter 5 in Galatians, we see that there are works of the flesh. In other words, there are lusts of the flesh that are the works of the flesh, okay? Now, if you ever count things in your Bible, okay, there are 17 things mentioned here in this verse, in these set of verses. There are 17 things, okay? We have adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings. Okay, there are 17 things. And we see towards the end of that passage that we've just read, Paul says that those who do such things won't inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me ask you, okay, so here's the thing. When a person becomes born again, okay? When a person becomes born again, they are sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. Now, obviously, there are going to be times that they will fall short and sin. Does that mean they lost your salvation? No. You can't, once you're saved, if you're truly born again and saved, you can't lose your salvation. That's like saying you can lose your sonship, okay? And people who think that you can lose your sonship really don't know a whole lot. Now, some people will ignorantly believe that, but they're ignorant and they need to be taught. Okay, but if you have a worldly non-believer, which we all know is going to be guilty of any of those, if they don't repent of their sin, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Now, even as a believer, if you're guilty of those, okay, you need to repent of your sins. But Paul says that these things are not to be named amongst the saints. So those things are not to be named among the saints. So if you're a saint, we really should abstain ourselves from such things. Now, you might say, well, Brandon, that's impossible. Yeah, it is. Fleshly, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now, let me say this. Think of it this way. As a believer, if you sin, which you will, that's going to disrupt your fellowship with God. Okay? But when you repent, that fellowship can be restored. Does it make sense? So, you know, and God says that He will provide a way of escape when you are tempted, and that you won't be tempted any more than you can't handle. Okay? Now, with that said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. You know what that is? You know what effeminate is? It's the sodomites, is what that is. That's the sodomites. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Again, that's the sodomites. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Romans 13:13-14. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Okay, so let's not walk in the flesh and make provision of it so we can fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're not to do that. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7 through 8. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, we see that these things, people who do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, here's what we're going to do. For the next several videos that I'm going to be doing, for time's sake, I'm only going to cover three of them today. Okay? Three of them. And we are just going to go through, every single one of them and discuss what the Bible says about them. Amen? So, the first thing we want to take a look at tonight is adultery. Now, what is adultery? Well, we'll get into that. Well, here, okay. Adultery is when you have a married couple. Adultery is when a spouse goes off and has sexual relations with another person, goes off and has other marital relations. Outside of their marriage. So, for an example, let's say you have a husband and wife who are married. Husband goes off and has an affair with another woman. Okay? That's adultery. Now, adultery is mentioned 40 times in 33 verses. Let's take a look at that number 33 for a second. What is that? That is 11 times 3. Okay? 33. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Okay? Keep that in mind. Okay? The first occurrence of adultery is in Exodus 20, verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. In Deuteronomy 5:18, neither shalt thou commit adultery. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Now, why did God say that? Because God does not take adultery very lightly. Okay? He doesn't take that lightly. Which should show you that any given sin that you commit, he's not going to take lightly. Even if you slack off at work, that's still a big deal. Okay? Your sins are a big deal. And they matter. Okay? And don't be so foolish to think that your sins don't affect others, because they do. They do. And we're going to take a look at that here tonight as well. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 32. But whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. So if you go off and you commit adultery with a woman, you lack understanding. And you destroyeth your own soul. Don't get mad at me for that. Brandon didn't say that. That's what God said. That's what God said. In Jeremiah 29:23, because they have committed villainy in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them, even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord. Ezekiel 16:32, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her own husband. See, we're starting to see the kind of the definition of what adultery is by scripture. Now, you might say, well, praise God, I don't do that. Be careful to not think any highly than you ought to think, lest you fall into the snare of the devil. Don't ever think any highly of yourself. I guarantee you that whoever's watching who has that attitude has indeed committed adultery in another form. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So before you go on a happy parade and say, well, thank God that's not me, if you even look at a woman to lust after them, you've already committed adultery with them. Don't get mad at me. Jesus said that, not me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Mark chapter 10, verse 19. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and a heart, they have exercised with covetous practices cursed children. Having eyes full of adultery, we say this with David. David was a man after God's own heart, and David was an adulterer, he was a murderer, he was a thief. But you know what? God forgave him of his sin because David repented. Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2-5. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose off from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him. And he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." You said David looked on a woman that was washing herself, and he lusted after her. Lust of the flesh. Okay, you're kind of starting to see here, the lust of the flesh. All this is the lust of the flesh. David got himself entangled with the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. Okay. And he lusted after a woman. That means he already had already committed adultery before he even did the act. And he did the act and had Uriah killed. So he was a murderer. An adulterer. But David repented of his sin and God forgave him. And it came at a great price. And by the way, because of David's sin, God said the sword should not depart from your family. And it didn't. David had issues with his sons. More specifically, Absalom. Let's see here. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 9. "Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not?" Now let me tell you something. Adultery doesn't just have to do with lusting after a woman or going into another man's wife. But adultery can also be spiritual adultery. It can really be going after false gods like Baal or Ashtaroth or any of those satanic gods. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 7. "How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that they are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses." Now, why is worshiping other gods considered adultery? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." You see, Jesus Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. So if you go off and worship other gods, you're cheating on Christ. You're cheating on Christ for other gods, little g, devils. Okay? Isaiah 54:5, "For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called." There's only one God, and that's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, or Jacob. Okay? And by worshiping other gods, you are cheating on the one true God for a false god. 1 Kings 19:18, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." So whether you worship other gods, little g, or you go after and lust after women, or women if you're lusting after men, you are an adulterer. Now the next thing we're going to be getting into is fornication. Now fornication is very similar, but it's different. Fornication is really having marital relations outside of the marital bed. In other words, if you're not married and you're going in onto a woman and you two are not even married, that's fornication. Now, when you take a look at fornication, fornication is mentioned 36 times in 32 verses. Matthew chapter 5 verse 32, "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife saving for the cause of fornication causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry that her that is divorced committeth adultery." We already had that verse already for the adultery part of it, but this also fits for the fornication part of it too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1, "It is reportedly commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not as much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." So you've got some incest going on, and not just incest, but there's fornication outside of marriage. There's marital relations outside the marital bed. The marital bed is being defiled, in other words. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Genesis chapter 39, verse 7 through 12. Okay, this is an example of what you should do to not commit fornication. The Bible says we're to flee fornication. Here's an example of how you flee it. Okay? "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and got him out." See, Joseph knew what this woman wanted to do. And Joseph said no. And you know what he did? He ran out. My question is, will we run away and flee fornication when we get tempted to? And by the way, when we get tempted to, remember, it is written. Again, this is part of the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh are kind of both similar. Okay? The lust of the flesh. We see that Joseph fled away from fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." If you want to avoid fornication, get married to someone that you're supposed to get married with. Men, have a wife. Women, have a husband. That's how you avoid fornication. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetous, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." That's what I was talking about earlier. These things are not to be named among you becoming saints. In other words, don't be guilty of it. If you are guilty of it, repent of your sin. God will forgive you if you repent. But if you don't, be sure your sin will find you out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 through 4. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Jude chapter 1, verse 7, even in as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Why do we not learn anymore? These things are written in the Word of God in the Old Testament as examples. Why do Christians choose not to listen to it? People need to wake up. Amen. Acts chapter 15, verse 20. But that we write unto them, that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Okay. Now, last thing I want to take a look at, and then we'll wrap it up and we'll be done for the night. I talk about uncleanness. Now, what? Uncleanness is mentioned 40 times in 35 verses. Again, uncleanness is a big deal to God because our God is a clean God, and because we are human and we have a sin nature, our sin makes us unclean and need to be cleaned by the word and by the blood of the Lamb. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 3. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man should be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 20. But the soul that eateth of the flesh, the sacrifice of peace offerings, that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul should be cut off from his people. Leviticus 14:19, and the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness, and afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. Now listen, the priest was to make an atonement for people's uncleanness. Uncleanness is sin. Uncleanness, when you sin, you become dirty, you become filthy, you become unclean. Because sin will do that to you as a believer. Sin will dirty you up. That is why we need to repent of our sin, get our sin under the blood, and be washed by the water of the Word and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We need a daily washing. If we don't wash daily, that would be the equivalent to not taking a shower and you just walking around. You get pretty smelly, and pretty soon people start to notice. Well, guess what? The same concept. If you don't get into the Word daily and have a daily feeding and a daily washing, people begin to notice the sin in your life. Okay? They can. Ezekiel 39:24. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgression have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. There comes a point when a person becomes such a reprobate, God hands them over to their sin, to their uncleanness. God can do that. And once a person goes reprobate, their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. And they don't want anything to do with God at that point. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21. Oh, where did I? enlist, when I come again, my God will humble among you, and that I shall be well many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed, repented of the uncleanness. Again, we see that sin is unclean and will make you unclean. This is why we need to wash daily in the Word of God. This is why, okay, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If you fulfill the lusts of the flesh, that's sin, and sin is going to make you dirty. It is. This is why we need to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Again, what did God... Okay, so we see uncleanness can be talking about sin. God did not call you out to sin. He called you out unto holiness. I posted this on Facebook this morning. The gospel of grace is not a license to sin and live like the devil. But the gospel of grace is to help empower you to live holy and separated lives in Christ Jesus. We are to live separate, separated and holy lives. We are not to go around acting like a bunch of sinful devils. That's not why Jesus Christ died. He died so that we might be set apart and we can be renewed and have that fellowship with God the Father, to restore that fellowship. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lusts of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. So again, we see that as we continue on, we see that uncleanness is sin. This is why we need to be clean on a daily basis, not just physically, but spiritually. Amen. Let's see here. We're almost done. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6. But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Without Christ, no one can be saved. But because Jesus Christ came and died for our sin and shed his blood, we can be forgiven of our sins and cleansed of our sins. But most importantly, we can call upon him and be saved. Amen. We can be saved if we call upon him. Now let me ask this question. Okay? If we can do nothing on ourselves, what makes us think that we can clean ourselves? We need the Word of God to clean us, right? We need to be washed with the water of the Word. Jesus says, "You are now clean. You are now clean by the Word I've spoken to you." See, the Word of God is water. It's pure and clean water. And when we wash and bathe in that, that will get rid of all the icky sin in our lives. Not all of it, but it will wash us clean. Because when we go out into the world again, we tend to get dirty. Amen? It's going to happen. Whether you like it or not. And by the way, without Christ, you wouldn't be clean. You'd still be filthy in our sins. Okay? Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 2:21, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved today, today's the day of salvation. Do not wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Okay, but you can know for sure. If you don't know that heaven is going to be your home, you can know for sure that today, you can know today and for sure that heaven will be your home. You can know for sure if you don't know heaven's going to be your home, you can know today for sure that heaven will be your home when you pass on. You can. And it's just what we read in here. If whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? John 11:25-26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, and yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? If you believe on Jesus Christ, and you put your faith and trust in what he did, and you establish a relationship with him, he will raise you up at the last day. Amen. But are you willing to step out in faith, call upon the name of the Lord, repent of your sin, ask him to forgive you of your sins, and to put your faith and trust in what he did for you at the cross? Are you willing to do that? Because you can do that. And if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Okay? The good news is no one has to go to hell. But will you choose to put your faith and trust in Christ and cry out to him to be saved? 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord's desire is for all to come to repentance. And to come into the saving knowledge of the truth. Will you choose to do that today? The choice is yours. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Last verse and we'll be done. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day for salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Amen. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, okay, and if you want to know how you can be saved, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, you'll be saved. And all you need to do is go before the Lord and repent of your sin. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin. Ask him to cleanse you and wash you. Invite him into your heart and life. Ask him to fill you with his Spirit. Accept his free gift of salvation and thanking him for saving you. Amen. If you do that, if you put your faith and trust in Christ and you believe on him and you confess that he, and if you confess and believe in your heart that he is the Son of God, you'll be saved. Amen. You'll be saved. Now, I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. I know it's been kind of a lengthy video. I do want to thank you all for tuning in tonight, all right? I know I kind of ran through that quickly. Next time, we're going to be continuing on talking about the lust of the flesh. Now, the next, we already talked about a little bit about the about adultery, fornication, and uncleanness. Okay, so next time, if the Lord wills, we'll be getting into lasciviousness, idolatry, and witchcraft. Those are going to be the big ones we're going to be talking about, all right? So I'm going to try to see if I can draw something up soon here, and we can draw something up here, and then I'll try to see if I can pick a day next week to present that. I would really like to try to get something out by next week, because Halloween is coming up and it fits perfectly with witchcraft. So that's going to be a biggie. So if you all can stay tuned for that, that would be great. But other than that, listen, I love you guys. Please don't take everything I say for truth, okay? You take what I say and you match it with what the Bible says. If what I say does not match with what the Bible says, then let God be true and let Brandon be a liar. And if I am wrong, one of these days, I'm going to have to stand before God and give an account to that. But if I'm right, then I pray and ask that God will show you what I'm talking to you about. Amen. Listen, guys, I love you. I love you guys. I care for you very much. I do. And there are things I'm going to have to preach and teach that may seem unfavorable. Okay? But I have an obligation to teach and preach. Even the hard stuff. Because I'm supposed to teach the whole counsel of God. I cannot withhold anything, otherwise I'm doing you a great disservice by doing so. Amen. Now, my stapler is kind of weird. Not sure what all that stuff is. Oh, okay. Anyways, I'm sorry about that. I kind of got distracted there for a sec. Listen, I love you guys. You guys have a great night. God bless you. Trying to turn off my computer. There we go. I love you guys. God bless you. You guys have a good night. I hope this was a blessing to you. It's been a while since I did a video, so just kind of bear with me. I might distract myself or something like that, so just kind of bear with me. But listen, guys, I love you. God bless you. You guys have a great night. And if the Lord willing, we'll see you sometime next week. If you can stay tuned for part two, that would be great. Other than that, I love you guys. God bless you. You have a great night. We'll see you next time. God bless. Bye.